You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Cott and I'm delighted to be joined on another pod by Record Sports Craig Swan and Graham Young. Guys, how are you?
Good, Daniel. How are you?
I'm all good, thanks. I'm all good. This is my favourite time of the week, talking all things Celtic, so I couldn't be better. Graham, yourself?
Yeah, very well, mate. I'm glad to be on, so I probably need to talk about it at least.
There is indeed. And I think the best place for us to start, we're obviously recording on Thursday. Is it Fir Park, Motherwell? Celtic, obviously a bit of a narrow win, but the gap stays at 7 points and, you know, can't really ask for much more than that.
I think it was one of those nights, Daniel, that you marked down at the end of the season as a functional evening and crucial to, if any team wins a league, that's one of the nights where it tends to be done. The football didn't flow. The first person he knows was Ange Postecoglou after the game. He called it a grind. I think that was fair enough. I think anybody that watched it would know Celtic didn't hit their free-flowing best, but they just have an ability to, regardless of how they're playing, find a way, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there was a couple of contentious points, Graham, throughout the game surrounding VAR. What did you make? I mean, to start with, the Jota goal, I mean, it's just onside.
I think the issue to me is the VAR camera angle on the left side of the halfway line. I understand that. Now, that is an issue where there's less cameras at non-Sky games for VAR. And I can understand that issue because when you look at it from the far away, the joke is it's from the pie stand, it's so far away that you don't give fans, if there's going to be an offside call, it needs to be definitive, and that is open interpretation. The closer up that BBC used in the SPF footage appears to show Jota at least edging forward, so it's pretty close. I think that's the argument there. Much like the Tierney one, well, it's an arm and a foot kind of in line. So I think that's been the issue, or is the issue there. I think the Stars belt one potentially tackle. I can understand that completely. To me, that fits the criteria of a potential red card. And those, especially when you look at one that's been happening recently, St Johnson last night. I think arguably it's more of a football move, the St Johnson one, where that's just a reckless challenge. But I think the overriding feeling for me amongst punters is when you're getting a definitive, the whole point of video replay, they offer absolute certainty. And I think when you're getting a camera angle on the wrong side of the pitch, I think that's hard for supporters to stomach at times. And I think that's something that's got to keep going unless an extra commitment's made for more cameras at non-Sky games. Just gives punters more angles. Maybe that would open up a bigger debate, but I think that's the kind of overriding issue coming away from last night with the Jota incident or the Jota non-goal.
I tend to agree with that, Graham. I have to say that, unfortunately, due to finance, whatever the reasons, we are starting off with VAR with a Fisher-Price model. We don't have the full kit and caboodle, and it's there for clearing obvious mistakes and clearing obvious things to be overturned. I'm not sure any of them were clearing obvious. I get the arguments for the Starfelt challenge. I get the arguments for the offside, but I don't think any of them were clear and obvious. On Starfelt challenge, I was at the game. It's one of them, you start to see replays and it looks like, I was at the game, I didn't see Celtic players going crazy. It was a bad tackle. It was one of them where you hear, ooh, the crowd go. And at the time, you're looking for Celtic players to go crazy if that's really, really bad, and they kind of didn't. You see, well, they call them that yellow card, and they kind of go on. I know that's the Celtic players' way. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm not saying it shouldn't have been a red card. Just my point is, sometimes when you see things more and more, the more you look at them, the worse they look. At the time, it looked like a yellow and a half to me. As regards to the offside, as Graham says, it's clear and it has to be clear and obvious. You would hope that when we got the technology introduced, that it would have been, you know, pristine, you know, the real deal, taking all doubt out the way, like the English one does, where it's some millimetres, but we just don't have it, unfortunately, which comes back to, do you bring in something half-baked? You know, do you wait until you've got the full package? If you don't have the full package, don't bring in at all. Because the idea was it was supposed to stop arguments. To be honest, it's caused even more.
That's what I was going to say. It's almost more frustrating, you know, when you see the kind of wrong decision, even if it's not clear and obvious, when we've got the cameras now, you know?
To be fair, Chris Sutton said this in his record column. He said that, guys, when VAR comes in, it's only going to cause more arguments. It's just going to cause more arguments and more people finger pointing. And that is already starting to happen. I mean, there has been some... His point was, and he bang on as sort of usually is, it's one man's interpretation. So at the end of the day, one man's interpretation of a handball rule. I mean, we've seen some weird ones in the Celtic game so far. Mm-hmm. Ones that you think, well, fair enough, that's not a handball because it wasn't his fault and there's nothing he could do about it. And then you see one like happened at Tynecastle, and then you see one against Burnley for the United, and he doesn't know what's happening with that one. It just comes down to interpretation. And while you've got interpretation with anything, there's going to be arguments.
Yeah, there was one at Ibrox last night as well with, I think it was Ben Davies. And it just looks like a stick-on penalty. His hand's up at his head.
And the Davies one, maybe not the Celtic podcast, the right place to plead. There's an angle.
True, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
I think there's an argument that maybe Davies hits his face and it worsens off his hand. Then again, handballs become pretty open and shut in terms of recent weeks since the Michael Smith incident. So again, it's funny to echo what Chris Sutton said as well, that we are where we are, and if it's not the absolute forensic VAR that you get maybe in the Champions League, and that's gone up a level with the automated offside as well. So I think we really are the poor relation at present. And there's these type of, this is going to be a weekly occurrence. It's been a weekly occurrence already, but after the World Cup, it's going to only ramp up as well as the season moves on the line.
Can I just say two things on this? One, I hope that there was always going to be teething problems. I know it's a phrase that's been used a lot, but you would hope that the World Cup break will give everybody a chance to sit down. And I actually thought, as much as I'll probably get harangued for this, I thought it worked quite well with Willie Collin last night. Whether you thought the decisions were right or wrong, it was done a lot faster last night. There wasn't that. Last Saturday in the Dundee game was delays, and then the referees running over to the screen and it's taking forever. I felt last night it was done a bit quicker, whether you thought it was right or wrong, which can only be encouraging. My biggest bugbear in the full thing is we're always trying to, and I know we want correct decisions. That's what we want. We've always wanted that. My biggest bugbear is I feel like the guys and girls who shell out their cash week in, week out, are getting shortchanged again. I was at the game last night working at a job. I was fortunate. I was at the pay. People have paid 30, 35 quid for a ticket. They're the last people to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on screens. They'll probably get people texting them from the house watching them. The guys and girls who pay to get into the football are the last people to know. They don't. If the game gets stopped, and they don't know what it's going to stop for. They don't know what's been checked. They don't know what. That frustrates me. I've often felt that the paying customer is always last in line, even it comes to, you know, if you don't bother going to a game, you watch it on Sky, you get to hear the manager speak 10 minutes before kickoff. I know I'm off on a tangent here, by the way, but if you listen to the radio, you get to hear both managers half an hour before. What do people who get going to the games get? Okay, nothing. You don't get to hear that. I don't know. And I just don't like the way people inside stadiums at all. They're always last. But I know I know you can't help that with VAR, and everybody need big jumbotrons to show every single decision. But it's just something that annoys me. People sitting about ground over the last 2 or 3 weeks, games I've been at, looking at each other, and they don't know what's going on. That's not right.
Well, that's a fair point. Just before we move on from the Motherwell game, guys, I wanted to bring up some of Ange's comments post-match, particularly on Dyson Maeder, because I feel like he's became, I don't know if a whipping boy is the right expression, but he's definitely taken a bit of stick from Celtic fans. I thought it was really good to see him get what turned out to be the eventual winner last night. And after the game, Ange described him as immense. And I think his work rate kind of goes unnoticed a wee bit at times.
I definitely agree with that. I think the problem with Maeder was the kind of signature misses in the Champions League, and that he brings what he brings, and the reason why he's in the Japan squad has been outlined. He's the great press and the great tracking back, but he is effective as well. I felt even in the home game off the bench, he was really good. Hearts the same. He's not got to beat you. I think I've mentioned this a couple of times. It's because he's so quick in the press, you assume he's going to be able to just knock it past the player, but his speed doesn't quite work like that. So there's maybe a frustration there, but his work rate, application, top notch. And that one last night, those are the type of, I know he doesn't always score, but the way Celtic play, whether it be a Riley or Turnbull playing those raking passes to midfield, he's such a threat. That's a kind of textbook Maeder goal last night as well, and you can obviously see what he brings us. Celtic, I get another thing I mentioned before, but you do see they have got a Manchester City element to them, in the sense that it's not always the same players. You know what Man City are like? Suddenly Mahrez is back in form and someone else is on a tear. Celtic have got the type of players that are like that. Abada could maybe score 5 and 6 games, goes quiet, Maeder comes back strong. That's the real strength of what Celtic are about, with Jota, Haksabanovic. And Maeder, obviously, I know he had a really tough run in the Champions League. The Madrid miss, Shakhtar miss, and I think he'd won against Leipzig as well. But I just think he's seen games like this. As funny as I did to it was a bit of a grind, as Ange says. He's just got this real good work ethic, brings a bit of pace off the bench, and he can score a goal with that. I think he's a really decent, as we know at this point, I think Kyogo brings a flair element up front, and obviously with the Japan omission for him, some maybe would have Kyogo in the squad, Maeder, no, but you can see the value he brings, especially at international level, and Celtic obviously in Europe. I think, finally as well, Celtic were in the Europa League, dropped down. Again, you'd see like just the value of that kind of pressing against a team that isn't able to break lines the way Madrid or Leipzig. A guy like Maeder is invaluable. Big games against maybe Ibrox, I'd imagine he's a stick-on starter as well. So I'm actually quite a fan. I think he's a really decent option. While there's not always the kind of end product in every match.
Mm-hmm. And Swanee, Graham mentions the Japan World Cup squad there. I'm not a Japanese football expert, but to leave Kyogo and Hatate out, man must have some team.
I think Ange Postecoglou probably summed it up the best. I'll give you a good example. If you had been dropped down from the moon and you'd been told Greg Taylor had only had X amount of caps, you would go, why has he only had that many caps? But you know why? Because of the competition that he's got at left back, mm-hmm. and Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney. And Ange Postecoglou said that a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about Hatate and when he was talking about international football in general. He said that it's not just the individual themselves. It might be what fits the squad, how many players they have in that certain position. It's more than just the player himself. Now, what I will say is I would probably put that more, from everything I can gather, I'm like you boys, I wouldn't be an expert on every member of the Japanese squad and the fringe players and who could be in. I think Kadati had a far tougher job, and the fact he hasn't really played much for the senior team. The vibe that seems to be coming from Japan is the Kyogo one, the guys that are getting picked ahead of him don't really have a mighty track record. And in some cases, one that's been called up almost seems a bit of a novice. So again, that one would seem maybe more strange than maybe Hatate, because they appear to have a kind of set of midfield for what I can gather. But I think it comes back to what Ange Postecoglou says, and the example of Greg Taylor. It can just be who you've got. I mean, if you have a backup striker for Sweden behind Zlatan Ibrahimovic, how many caps would you have?
That's true. That's a good point. And I think it's worth saying as well, Graham, that another talking point from this week has been around international football and Steve Clarke and the Celtic players not being released for the friendly against Turkey. Do you think Celtic are in the right to keep the players for the Sydney Super Cup?
Yes, it was. And I think the reason's outlined. I think that disappointment fair enough. And I thought he made a couple of, he doubled down a couple of times saying, listen, I'm not looking to fight anyone. He was obviously disappointed. In this occasion, in a non-sanctioned international week, Celtic did what they should do as a club out with the top five leagues, planned ahead, cashed in a way in the fact that they've got a revered Australian manager, so they head down under, obviously originally maybe to play Rangers in the Sydney Super Cup. It's long-term planning. You understand exactly why they're wanting their best players over there for potential future visits as well. You don't want to go over there with a skeleton squad and it doesn't work. And that you, I do get all points of view on it, but I can understand exactly why Celtic are taking the stands. And I think Ange Postecoglou was genuinely sympathetic to Steve Clarke. He's a previous international manager himself. But a late fixture arranged with Turkey, I know it's a gap and the World Cup's on, and but I think in this occasion I can see why Clarke feels the way he does, but I can definitely see why Celtic are doing what they need to do. To me it makes sense from their point of view.
I agree with you there, Young. I don't think any of them are in the wrong. I think both of them are right to think and feel the way they do it. And they've both said the right things and they've both been good about it, and I think it's been very good. The only people I know are an easy kick. FIFA and UEFA are always an easy kick, but FIFA have to be the only organisation in the world that could stop club football across the board for 5 weeks for an international tournament, yet not decree a part of it an international window.
That's a good point.
That's quite remarkable. It does smack of them, to be fair. We're only interested in the World Cup teams or countries, and the rest of you can go sing. If you're not part of our big party, we're not really bold. That's a bad thing. That's a bad vibe.
And we've obviously, Celtic have got one more game before they head off down under at Ross County on Saturday. You'd imagine, obviously, Celtic would be favourites to win that. But, Swanee, the Sydney Cup itself, I mean, I'm just certainly taking it very, very seriously.
I think you would do. I think it's generally now accepted that Ange Postecoglou would be seen as the best coach that Australia has ever produced. And he's what he's doing over there at Celtic and in Europe and being in the Champions League being noted. You're Ange Postecoglou, you don't want to take your glittering team back home to your homeland to get done by Sydney FC, they, with the greatest of respect. You want them to go and put it on a show. So I'm pretty sure he is taking it very seriously. They want some of your good results and perform well. There's a lot of Celtic supporters down in Australia as well. They're paying out good money to come and see the game. They want to put on a show for them as well.
I know, Graham, it's kind of a lot of diehard fans over here kind of rally against these sort of, you know, big money friendlies, you know, for no, you know, kind of pointless games. But I'm actually really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really kind of cool occasion and, you know, fun to watch.
Well, definitely. To be fair to Celtic as well, definitely the front foot with that. Like, the window they've chosen for this is, a lot of teams have got training camps that come after Celtic, I think go to Portugal in December, I think maybe a friendly 10th of December as well, but this is very much its own thing. Players, they know that, like, obviously in international that came late, the decision, but there's, as Swanee touched on, punters want to see this is serious for Ange. Like, there's benefits for Celtic as well. Like, it's not European football, right, but it's camps, it's training, what you put in big crowds. And the stadium, actually, just a note, this Allianz Stadium, they're playing Sydney, and it's one of these funky stadiums. Just built, looks really cool, pretty compact, with a really big crowd. It's got all the makings of what, it's got more than just a typical summer tour. I made this point in an article recently that these friendlies that are coming up, it's very much a case of, normally you're used to a load of new signings, it's not the case. Pre-season by nature, you're going to be like eight new players all bedding in, but this is Celtic's first team going away to show who they are on the back of a first Champions League campaign in 5 years. So I think I agree with both of you. There's a real, I wouldn't say an edge, but I think they'll want to go there and do well. And I think the games will be pretty decent. Storylines will be pretty good with Ange being home, and he's got a couple of question and answer nights. The whole thing seems kind of geared for plenty of entertainment, so especially, and it ties in nicely, Sunday morning Celtic, and then you've got the start of the World Cup that night as well. So as much as it feels the landscape shifting this year, there's still plenty to keep viewers and readers entertained anyway.
I watched
that, Daniel, hang on.
Go ahead,
hang on. There's, I'm just awaiting. There's a VAR check on at the moment for a potential red card for Youngie's use of the phrase "funky stadium."
But you used bad vibe earlier.
Yeah, hang on. I'm not one to admit it's definitely a red card.
Okay. No, but I think you'll change your mind when you Google it after you finish, mate. it's pretty cool. So we'll look forward to it.
I've watched a wee bit of Everton recently, and I think when Celtic play Everton out there, I think Celtic fully, you know, taking a really strong squad now, really going for it, I think they could really give Everton a bit of a doon.
Well, I know
it's really bold, but
one thing, obviously, with Martin O'Neill's teams, that was the kind of the hallmark that Martin O'Neill, with pre Champions League, used to play teams like Fulham and QPR, Leeds United, and Man United, all these testimonial games, and that was a marker for Celtic. And probably, to be fair, I think Everton will be relatively strong in terms of the World Cup. A few players like Anana, Cody might not be there as well, so. Richarlison, what a boo boo that would be. I think he went. there's a few players out, so maybe there's a chance of kind of signature result.
I've got to say, I think Frank Lampard's got more to worry on than the Sydney Cup.
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point. And Swanee, how come you're not on the plane? I thought you'd be selected to go out there.
No, make off. The outstanding Michael Gannon will be bringing all the coverage for online and for the newspaper, so he's very, very much the man in the role. Looking forward to hearing from Mick in Australia, so help me, you know.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, as I say, Celtic's next game is at home to Ross County. Then there's a complete domestic shutdown until the 17th of December when they go to Pittodrie. But I'm sure, guys, between now and the end of the Sydney Super Cup, we'll get together for another Record Celtic podcast. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you, Daniel.
And as I say, everyone listening, you can find us at record_sport on Twitter and at dailyrecord_sport on Instagram. Cheers.